Is there a motion to convene into open session?
So moved.
Trustee Kopisch and trustee, seconded by trustee Zeller. All in favor? Or wait, we have to do a roll for this, I think. Trustee Kopisch?
Aye.
Aye.
Trustee Dart, trustee Gast?
Aye.
Trustee Genrick?
Aye.
Trustee Zeller? Trustee Green?
Aye.
Trustee Van Nobbins and I, we're in open session. Does anyone wish to make a motion with regard to any of the contents of closed session? Trustee Green?
I would move that we keep the court as it is.
Okay.
Second.
Second by trustee Kopisch. Discussion? Trustee Green, would you like to give some rationale in open session for the record?
I believe home rule trumps the minimal savings that we would have by going to the city of Green Bay. I also have significant concerns with where it would go down the road with an elected position, and think at least for the time being, we ought to keep it here.
Okay. Anyone want to add to that? Or
I think we could take some time to evaluate.
Yeah.
This came up fairly quickly.
Gosh,
we didn't really evaluate, you know, all the ramifications and the alternatives with the Bellevues and other municipalities. So I think, you know, definitely take another look at it the next budget cycle, or sooner if we need to.
Yeah.
Not opposed to the concept. It's just the
timing
and the home rule thing right now too. I think we need some more, maybe some more feedback from the residents on that.
Yeah, and I agree that before we even get feedback from residents, the savings that are outlined in this proposal don't justify taking this extremely seriously given the home rule, especially as both of you said at this point in the history of the village after the consolidation of the fire. And okay, anyone else want to add either for or against? Any further discussion with regard to this item? The motion on the floor is to keep the court as it is, and not consolidate, not at this time, not entertain consolidation with Green Bay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. The budget is Craig.
Craig should be here. Before Craig gets on this Hogwarts stuff, though, there's some beginning stuff we'd like to go through with answers to some of the questions from Monday.
Okay.
I just some miscellaneous stuff to go through, and then while Craig here.
Yeah, it's just where the invoices are. I think that's kind of the same thing with that. One of the quarterly ambulance invoices, which I did for Bob, but that's
it just amazes me who's behind on the billing.
Yeah.
So before?
And I think we always have a table at the end.
Before
of the
we get into those items that,
actually,
that you mentioned,
yep.
Can I ask Clara or yourself could we go back and get the pay figures, the regular wages, office clerical for the park position? There is an actual 2012 number here. Is that a full year number? Was she a full year employee?
You're on page
29 in the March. I have to double check it.
Think she started right.
I don't think she started in January 1.
Could we get that figure? What her
prorated?
We have budgeted 2013, but we're not sure about actual 2012 would be. Okay, so that we could discuss it later on.
We're looking at parks, but
would that be something
we're not staying there.
Okay.
We're not staying there.
I was up there.
We're just visiting.
Okay.
What the progression has been?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Tonight, I think, do you want to try to do like some recapping tonight?
That's
of the whole
start
of the whole budget,
A little bit, just some of the things that came up and that we shifted.
Just want to pass it around.
My hope is that we recap and we can actually approve the budget to move forward to the hearing tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have a good start.
I just thought I'd pull this up on my computer, but this is so slow. It won't come out.
Probably your brother on the screen there.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking the same thing.
I guess that was preview.
Any two, that's why I asked on Monday
morning. Yeah. Okay, this is just basically a summary of what we talked about on Monday. So all the changes are laid out by the order we went in and the account, the proposed, the revised, and the difference, if any comments are needed. And I don't know if you want me to go through each one of them or just look at it. And then at the bottom, the capital projects, we said we're discussion only, so I didn't put in an account or anything. It would just be deciding which ones we want to go with.
And we did get from Brad in regard to the capital project, the backstop at the Babe Ruth. Here's accounting of that. He did some checking. He did some checking, and the total cost just for the backstop is about $13,000. So just so you know, and they have
17, wasn't it?
Yep, they have $6,000 saved right now that they've saved for it. So this is just what Brad had come up with to kind of update those numbers.
We thought it was 17, and now it's.
Yeah.
No, that was for the fence and the. Wasn't that?
I can't remember. I asked them three times.
And then the fence.
Yeah.
That total was 17?
No.
17 for the backstop and then extra for the fence, right?
Yeah. That was my take on it.
Yeah.
So, oh, so this is less.
So it's 13 total for the backstop, dugout fence, and foul line fencing to enclose the field. So everything we talked about
so
is actually 13.
Everything.
Yeah, that's everything.
And what did they call those line fences?
So is this our portion?
The 13 is a total cost. They have 6 saved already. So then, potentially, if we split it, it would be $6,000 or $7,000.
But it says the total cost is $19,176.
And that is the fence. Yeah. Oh yeah. That is what they would do, that $19,000 includes, there is now fencing up closer to the backstop area that they would replace and make it higher so the balls wouldn't be flying out of there. So the $13,000 does not include any takedown fencing and putting in new. It's taking from where it ends by the infield area and taking it out to close the field to the outfield. That additional $6,000 is to replace the fencing that's close to the backstop that's low, and that the Babe Ruth would like to put some additional height and new fencing in there.
So this is something we never talked about. We didn't talk about
it. No.
So the extra $6,095 we never
talked
about.
But
we happen to be getting up to 19 and change, which is about where we were when you thought it was just the backstop, more expensive, and
that fence line to fill it in.
So the backstop total is $7,150, and we thought it was $17,000. What happened?
I think it was a guesstimate, or Brad, you know, just thinking of it off the top of his head and not, you know, thinking of back numbers and not knowing exactly what it was. I don't think he had a total. So he talked to Babe Ruth. They have got quotes on it, and this is what that's what they came back with. So this is actual what they would look at for doing that work.
Wow.
So.
Okay, that's a completely different story.
Yeah.
A good story.
It is.
It's
yeah.
a good story, and it was
so
tough.
Well, it's a good story unless you consider the discussion that I had, and I said maybe we need to have a system rather than, and the system could be we split the backstop with the Babe Ruth, and then we take care of
all the rats,
fencing.
Right.
Well, now all of a sudden the backstop's significantly less, and then we're adding in more and more fencing. Because so it is good that the backstop costs less, but we're going to make up for that by adding more fencing, and the fencing happened to be something that at least I suggested we contribute on our
time. $10,000
But we haven't decided.
Yeah.
We haven't decided, right.
Yeah, so this is just for your information when we get back to the capital stuff. That's where that is.
Monday, so it was $17,000.
A big picture question here.
Yes.
The thing you've got a solid in there.
On page 6 on the goldenrod.
No.
The tax levy and tax rate calculations. So if I'm looking at this right, then it looks like the $203,840 decrease in our budget. So for every about $63,000 that we add to the budget is 1%. I'm coming up with $62,800 and change for each 1%.
I guess I have to do that calculation quick.
The 10,000 was our portion.
this one right here. Okay. Oh, wait a second. Jim, you've got... $62,816 is 1%.
Yes.
Okay. What was that, 62,000?
62,816.
So every 63,000 that we add...
is an additional 1%.
Okay. So
roughly.
Then, if I do a quick add and subtract, addition and subtraction from last night, I came up with an addition of about 84,000, between 84,000 and 87,000.
Would that be including,
including
the
Brad's
discussion, all of them?
Right.
Brad's items.
Which mm-hmm. items of Brad's, just like you could do that.
100,000, 12,000, 10,000, 10,000.
100,000.
Yeah, it's
no, except for Alloway.
The capital projects.
The 12,000 for Lingling Courts, 10,000 for Bay Ruth.
Everything but the community center.
10,000 for the sidewalks.
Community center, yeah.
10,000 mm-hmm. for sidewalks, okay.
Not 50,000.
Yeah, because that would be
2015.
Yeah. Yeah, that's 77,851 net change.
Net change is 77?
Yeah.
Okay, did that take into consideration the additional hours for code enforcement?
Yes.
It does.
That's
okay.
In there also.
So we've added 1,000. We've added 1.1%.
Well, we didn't because we haven't decided on any of those
right.
projects.
No. But I'm just in my mind. Yeah. I just want to know where we're at here.
And what do we have to make up?
So with this sheet, we're looking at
14,000, wasn't it?
14,571.
I'm saying we would be adding 1.1%, but we're right now we're down 3.24.
Right.
Yep.
3.2.
Still below 2.5.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Still below.
Okay. I just wanted to see what that picture was, depending on what Craig's got for capital projects.
So 3.24 would equate to a couple hundred thousand dollars?
We're under 203,000.
203,000.
So I have the same levy as last year. Yeah, it would be 203,840.
Where's the 14,571 that I have written in here coming?
That is, and I'm kind of like a visual person here, so when you fill out your levy limit worksheets,
uh-huh.
Last year, the base was the 6,092,000. You had the capacity to add on your post-2005 debt, so you could have added on 392,000, but you only added on 188. So that's where you got to your 6.281 million, and that includes 1,000 for J that doesn't show up on here. But that's how we got to the 6.281. So then this year, when they say fill it out, they take what you levied last year, less that 188,000 of the post 2005 debt, for your bottom of 6.092 million. So the 14,000 is the 6.092, that's absolute bottom without being penalized, minus the 6.077 million.
Well, but it's really not penalized. We don't get a ticket for it.
Well, you can never get that $14,000 back.
Well, no,
lost opportunity.
That's more what it is.
It is an inability to levy taxes against the resident.
That's right.
Because I do have subs in the back, and I have a pizza last, and some fruit, so if you want me to just yell when you want some of that, you want to take a break. But
I like chips.
Okay. I just want there is food besides what's sitting there. So
what Paul is basing this on, is that subtracting the 100,000? For the 50,000, 60,000 from Monday that we took out?
The net increase we just said, the 77,000?
The figure that he's using is that he's using what's in here, but on Monday we took
out money. We went the wrong direction.
But that's, if I'm totaling this spreadsheet here, this one,
because
that's what I'm doing to get that 77,000, which is the money taken out, that's the difference, if that's in parentheses. It's a decrease.
Okay.
So there's a, you know, in the police at 25,000 in equipment charges and the 25,000 of outlay. So all that is being totaled, plus then I just quick added on 100,000 for the Richmond material, the 12 for Langley, the 10 for Baber, and the 10.
And after we do all that, where are we with regard to actual
That would
to get to zero.
So, and zero, do you mean, I guess, to get to the 6.281 or the 6.092?
The lowest of the two.
The 6.092, this would be adding on $77,851. So then you'd be going a little bit above your bottom line, but still below 2013. So you'd still be about 2% below.
Yeah, because you'd be, if you're saying 1.1% for this page, we just said. Mm-hmm. So right now we're minus 3.2%, so mm-hmm. we're still minus 2.1%.
If we assume Brad stuff.
Yeah.
2.2%.
Let me ask the question a little bit differently. If we were just to take the savings that we assumed on Monday and not count Brad stuff in it, what's that dollar amount? So if we wanted to add projects for Brad and add projects for Craig, what are we talking about to get?
Then we would be down 54,000 plus the 14 some odd thousand are already down, so that would be a pretty big hit to what you can levy in the future.
That's another 1%, so then we would be down 4.25%.
So right now, going into this, assuming we don't add any of Brad's in, it's 4.25%, and it's about, I thought you said it was, what dollar amount per percent?
63,000. So it's closer, yeah.
$250,000.
$275,000. To get you to zero.
Yeah.
$275,000. Yeah, well, don't think in terms of you have
$275,000
to spend.
No.
To get you to zero, though.
No.
That would get you to zero.
That's the magic number, yes. Yeah.
Not saying we will, just saying mathematically. But based on what we did the other night, if we spent new $275,000, we'd be at 0%.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
But we have to be really clear. This is based on the revaluation so that the adjusted tax levy has been equalized for the new assessment from the DOR, the Department of Revenue.
Yeah, I mean, you see the levy, the tax rate is 6.87 right now, and last year it was 6.45, but you're spreading it over, you know, people's taxes will probably remain the same even though the tax rate is going up because of their value is lower.
Mm-hmm.
So they won't see a huge impact on their taxes. But then that will probably go down right now because of the, you know, we're 3% rule. Right now.
That's and has the Department of Revenue, have they assigned a valuation for the taxable personal property?
Oh, and computers?
Mm-hmm.
The computer rating?
The computer rating.
I saw that somewhere. So.
Yeah.
And the commercial.
They have.
Everything's in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, computer rating, 20,743.
And that can move a little bit depending on what you
do. Oh, so we don't have final numbers?
Well, it's not final. I can read through this. You have to take your tax levy, so you really don't know your computer rate until you know your final tax levy. But it's going to be right around 21,000. I mean, last year when you were budgeting, it went up and down a few hundred, around 17,000, so the 20,000 is within a few hundred. But again, it's because one of your multipliers is the tax levy.
Huh.
You can't get the absolute actual number until you determine your levy.
Can we go back to the fencing quick? Did Brad change his request or his thought on that?
He did not. He just said that the baseball has $6,000 saved. So let's say the village board says, okay, we will help put half the cost of the backstop dugout fencing and the foul line fencing. We will put $7,000 into it. That would do that project. So that was his comment, that they have $6,000 saved, and if we picked up the other part of it, that would take care of that project.
The backstop?
The backstop, the dugout fencing, and the foul line fencing. Now, that additional fencing is really to redo some existing fences, mm-hmm. fencing and bring it up and make it higher and make it safer. So that's the fencing along the baselines, and it would be redoing that. Will you see follow line fencing to enclose the field? That's coming from the end of the existing fence and going to the outfield fence.
Because of the vandalism.
And tying it in. Right.
Or
yes.
Timeliness or.
Right.
And
then the $6,000 down here is with additional. An additional to the sideline fencing that was a result of the vandalism?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's to replace the current fencing that's there
exactly.
and make it higher.
Yes.
So I think what happened was they realized that, look, we're getting the backstop for a lot cheaper than we did before. Why don't we just make this whole thing the way we want it and put fencing down the line and increase the existing fencing on the baselines
yes.
in order to make it safer. The existing fencing along the baselines, how high is it, and is that the same height that we're thinking for the extended outfield?
I'm not sure what the existing height is, and we can call Brad if you want to get into that further, but it would be higher, and then the foul line fencing would drop, because typically, you know, when you get in closer to the field, you will have a higher fence, and then as you get
further,
okay.
I just
down.
Wanted to make sure it wasn't the opposite, that
yeah.
if we decided not to do the baseline fencing, that we didn't have the outfield fencing being whatever, 8 feet, and the
yeah.
closer stuff being 6 feet,
that wouldn't
make any
so
sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
It looks so.
Yeah.
Have we had a problem with people getting hurt with on the baselines with the fencing not being high enough?
Babe Ruth is at what park? Does anybody know?
Green
is that Green Isle?
It's
okay.
The first field as you drive in.
You know, I'm not sure. I know we've had problems at Langlade with balls going over into the parking lot. That's an issue, but I haven't heard anything in regard to this particular fence or having issues with this end. And the parking, I think, is further away from this field than
yeah.
is that Langlade.
When Brad talked about the fencing down the line, we said, well, someone asked how high would that be. I think he said 6, or you'd want it to be higher up so
yeah.
that people's heads weren't sticking up.
Yeah.
So am I to assume then that the fencing that's more towards home plate, the first and third base line,
yeah.
is at least that high above people's heads? And we're
I
thinking about going
so.
Higher than that?
Yes, I would assume that they'll get higher than that. Because typically that fence is higher than if it isn't a 6 to 8 foot.
So you're really gonna prevent some line drives that are anywhere between whatever 7 feet where the fence is now, or 6 feet, and
yeah, 10 or 12 or whatever they would go up to.
But you're still gonna get a lot of balls going out of there that are hit much higher up, right?
Yeah.
Pop ups. The big problem they have now is the fall balls that go back into the side go into the ravine that you cross over when you enter Green Isle Park. So those are gone or
but aren't those mainly
kids.
Backstop?
So that's a backstop issue.
That's a backstop issue.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
raising that other fencing from what it sounds like it's at least 6 feet now to, I don't know, 10 or I don't know what
yeah,
where you go.
Sure
it doesn't sound like
that.
It would. Then again, the line drives are the ones that are most dangerous if you've got kids playing between the parking lot and the field.
Yeah.
What size are the fences at the Diamonds at Webster? People are always walking. Have you been to Webster Park? They have all those diamonds, and there's a walkway right down the middle, and people are walking all the time, and I don't know if mm-hmm. anyone has ever gotten.
Well, actually, that fence wasn't even asked for.
Originally, no.
Right. Do we have to discuss it any further?
Well, even Brad says when funds become available. I mean,
yeah.
Right now, I think we got a $13,000 proposal, and maybe we had 6, and if we contemplate 7, that takes care of those projects.
Yeah.
Yep.
I would just worry about the projects we had at hand. That can always go on next year's project list.
Yep.
So go 7 on the... Mm-hmm. The backstop?
That'd be my sense. Yeah. Babe Ruth does 6 and we get those 3 to things done.
So we're basically splitting the cost of the total project, right?
Yep.
So you're reducing from the 10,000 to 7.
Right.
Okay.
Because we can still get everything that was asked for.
Yeah.
Well, we're doing, the total cost is 13,081, and we're going to rely on Babe Ruth to do six, and we're going to do the balance, which will be $7,081, right?
This is their money through 14, though, so there's money they don't have now.
That's what I question, is that they have the three now, and they're going to make three more to get their six?
When are we thinking of doing this, though?
They already have six.
I'm thinking 14, right? For the 14 season.
They already have six. So I think the part with the three and the three is talking about next, the other project. I'm confused about that, but. But we're not making decisions on any of these right now, are we?
No, but we need to know what to propose.
Okay.
And I think the proposal on the table is that we would pay $7,081, assuming that the Babe Ruth is going to generate $6,000 towards the total cost of the backstop, the dugout fencing, and the foul line fencing.
Okay, so we're changing. Yes. That's what we agreed on yesterday, or what we discussed.
Yes.
Okay.
Based on new information.
Okay.
Cheaper backstop.
There's just a couple other things we wanted to touch on. Clara did go through the Sheriff's Department bills. She has some information to hand out in regard to that. I also talked to the Sheriff's Department in regard to overtime and exactly how it is calculated. Overtime is only billed for hourly officers, but just so you know, if one of our regular officers, so Justin's our night officer and he's on vacation, Randy's filling in for him as a county officer, and he's filling the alloy role. If Randy ends up with overtime as an alloy officer, we pay for that overtime. So we may have sometimes that we're paid for overtime for someone that isn't our regular officer. In regard to court cases, if our officer goes to court, then the court costs obviously are part of our responsibility if it's outside their regular hours. Also, we may have situations where, for instance, we had an officer that was one of our officers, let's say in 12. He's since moved to a different position. He might be working in Bellevue, or he's a county officer now. And his court case comes up. You know, cases can take 9 months to a year to come up. Then that officer, as he comes in for that court case, we would be charged for that because the case was an alloy case when it started, even though it goes to court 9 months to a year later, and that officer may not be one of our alloy officers anymore.
Yeah, but what happened if he would have quit?
Then he would be probably subpoenaed in and probably doing it on his time or somewhere else or whatever the case
might
be.
My point
but
exactly. He's not working for us anymore.
That's how they do it, so that's just what I said.
If I was a resident in Morrison, my county taxes would pay for that.
Here it comes.
Yeah. I swear, it is double dipping. Our village residents pay county taxes. Part of their county taxes go to the Brown County Sheriff's Department. I want to know exactly what our residents are getting for their share of the Brown County taxes that are going to the Sheriff's Department, and why they're being charged for things residents otherwise in the county wouldn't be being charged. So
that's how they do it right now.
So. Well, but here's my question for Randy as a lawyer, is they changed how they did it mid-contract, and that to me just smells bad, is bad, and where do you get off changing a contract mid-contract?
They didn't, though. There was a percent increase that was allowable, and they were within that percent increase, right?
No, they changed how they calculated overtime, and our overtime charges have gone up significantly.
I don't know if they changed. I guess maybe they did change it, but they are calculating it more accurately now, and it's being handled properly, is what the change was. And that's why it went up, because before they weren't putting the time down, and it wasn't being billed back to alloy. So that's.
But wasn't there in the contract, there was an escalator, right?
There's a 3% escalator for.
So how they get to that 3% escalator?
Isn't that an escalator on the admin component?
It's on the 3% on the whole cost for the officers, and the DEO is a 3%. In the contract itself, it basically states that overtime will be charged back, but it would be approximately this much.
That's right.
It states, and it's like between 20. I can grab it real quick, but between $1,500 and $2,500 is what it kind of says. It was what it says in there. So. When Todd got in, one of the things he did was looked at how overtime was being charged out, and it wasn't being charged out properly. So that's where the change in overtime came about. And
One thing that you guys asked to, just to go through the rest of this, if a officer, county officer comes into Alloway to help on call, to take the call, and overtime occurs, we are not charged for that. That is county responsibility. So if our officers are busy, someone else comes in, and they end up on overtime because they get an Alloway DWI, then we do not pay for that. So our
But our residents are still paying for that. So it's not like they're being graceful about it.
Right.
Just a work.
This is a list of overtime that we got together for you that lists what overtime is about, you know, when it occurs. It's really late calls or paperwork or court. And it's probably split half and half between court and late calls that are coming up. So the officers that are listed on here are either our law officers or somebody that is filling in for one of our officers that maybe is not in at the time. So, and we don't have the second quarter, but this is just informational, and if anybody wants more and you want to sit down with Todd, either have him come in and talk to the board whole about the overtime, or if some individual you would like to talk with him, he said he'd be happy to do that. So let me know if you want to do that and have him come in and discuss it. But
what's his premium one halfway through?
I don't know. I didn't see that. I should ask him. I don't know if it's what that means.
Tracy, there's a, when they recalibrated the formula,
yep.
or they fixed the reporting system,
yep.
The contract said something very vague, right. About 15 to 25, but it was probably going to be in that. So it didn't commit, it didn't restrict them to that range, if I remember correctly.
Right.
What if we sort of prorated, based on last year, what is our end of year overtime going to be? If it's not in that 15 to 25 range, what can we expect?
Here's what it says as a note on our contract. Overtime will be billed separately on a quarterly basis, is not included in the above figures. So they have all the figures for the, you know, the total cost. Overtime is estimated to be $2,500 to $3,500 per year based on historical amounts. So over the years, we've had, that's probably been about what it has been. I mean,
okay,
I think it was like $6,000, I think, last year, so it crept a bit last year. And this year, it probably will be triple.
Projected 2013, I've got as $11,000.
Right.
Budget 2014, I've got as $9,000. Significantly over contract that was signed.
Well, the overtimes are estimates. I mean,
right.
Whatever the actual is, you know, we're supposed to pay for it. But why is it going up so?
Yeah, can you estimate to your clients and then charge out four times what you?
Yeah, that's the thing I was trying to get at.
Well, you can if you're charging on an actual time and material, like it's almost like a time and materials. Base. I mean, the base contract has the base time in it. But then you'll be charged whatever overtime exists based upon, you know, work done in your village.
But isn't there
and
a good faith with
that?
Can you
change your formula halfway through a contract?
Well,
that's the
question I have, which is when they were apparently not doing it as accurately.
Right.
Do we have a sense that we were overbilled when they were? I mean, from what I understand now, I mean, from the explanation of the night is now if there's overtime, I mean, you check a box that says this is Alloway's overtime, and that's what we get billed for. Apparently, there was some other system in place that was less reliable, and I'm just curious whether we might have got overcharged when it was less reliable.
I think, if anything, we probably got
undercharged
because they weren't putting the time down under Alloway like they probably should have done, is what my understanding, and that's why the overtime is going up. So, I mean, like I said, we can certainly have Todd come in and talk to us about it and see, you know, where it's at. But, you know, when the first bill came in for the first quarter, then I called him and said, you know, I need to have, I was like, and I said, I need to know what this is including. And, you know, I went through and then I said, you know, it'll be a huge change for us because we're used to the, you know.
Well, what's interesting to me about this list is there's nothing in April, there's nothing in May, and there's nothing in June. So it's
is
like
that the second quarter? Because
yeah, but here we have July, August, and September. So where is April, May, and June?
It was the second quarter. We only had a summary.
Only.
We didn't get the final breakdown like this. He did it the first time because I asked him to, and then he didn't do second quarter, so he will do that, and he was getting it for me, but I didn't get it today.
Okay, so that's what's sold out in July's summary.
Right, it's just
and
the summary.
We still don't know what premium is.
No.
So he didn't provide you details for second quarter, and we paid it?
He didn't put the detail in, and
okay.
And I should have got it, but he didn't put it in, so...
Can an officer be tied up in something for 6 hours after their shift? Would that be some type of arrest?
Could be if he was maybe an EWI or something, it might take that long to process if he caught it right at the end of the shift.
Yeah, especially if they take him to the hospital for a lab draw. But here's an 8-hour court.
Yeah, there's a 5-hour court.
Right. It's like, why?
You get court gets backed up.
You know, some of these are circuit court, and at circuit court, the way Todd explained it to me, the prosecuting attorney said it, would say, you need to be here at such and such a time at 8 in the morning, so the officer's there at 8 in the morning. He may sit until
4 in the afternoon
until they get to him. So
well, then
they
my
have
question
to sit
would be, should that ticket have gone to circuit court in the first place, or should it be in arena court?
Like,
but we have had cases where something should have come to municipal court. Jim has pointed this out before, where something should have come to municipal court, but they went, or should have come to our court, but went to Green Bay Circuit Court instead, where they should have come before Judge Jim. So, too, are our tickets going to the right spot? I mean, especially if we're getting charged 8 hours of overtime for court due to circuit court. Yeah.
Judge, do you see a lot? Yeah,
well,
I mean, they put out
a monthly report telling me how many cases went to circuit court and how many came to municipal court. And there's a lot of those cases that are operating after suspension, speeding, a lot of traffic ones. And they could have come to municipal court, but they feel... because it was an officer that's not under contract, it should go within the circuit court. Or you've got a lot of these federal programs that go out, like Click It and Trick It and OWI that are funded by the federal government. And all if they work it in Alloway, it all goes to circuit court. So there's an awful lot of them that go there. Like you say, a second OWI. It has to go. If there's injuries involved with an OWI, it has to go to circuit court. If it's a crime, it has to go to circuit court. But there's many of them. And, Tracy, you get that report every month, don't you, of what goes to what court?
And actually, I haven't been getting them lately either. I would like to get them again, if at all possible. But like this 8 hours for Limburger, if this was a ticket that should have gone before Judge Charnetsky and didn't, I think we should not be charged for that. That's not our problem, that they sent it to the wrong court, and the wrong court is making him sit there 8 hours. Not Alloway's problem in my book.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's something we need to talk to them about when we negotiate the next contract. If there are things that could properly and should properly be written to Alloway, they should be written to Alloway.
Why are we waiting
for
the next contract, though?
Well,
why not now?
We don't have to wait. You're absolutely right. We don't have to wait now.
I mean, Ty can come anytime you guys want him to. If you want him to come to the village board or whatever you guys want to do with me, you would be happy to do that. So I just wanted to give you a breakdown on what they're doing. You obviously have more questions, and he's the one that's going to be able to answer it. So
and when,
how they're doing it.
When do we have to decide on our option year for the contract? By the end of
this goes to 2014, this contract. We can add one more year. We can go to 2015 at 3% increase. So we have another year on there.
And is this different from what we've gotten in the past, or in addition to? We've never gotten this kind of billing before?
That's
no.
Right.
This is significantly more overtime than we have ever paid. Ever.
It is higher, and that's why when I got the bill for first quarter, I was like, that's our whole budget almost for it. So,
So this will be about 12, given this experience.
Yeah.
Brandy, there's no good faith assumption behind something like this, even if it's written in the contract as it will be charged back to us. It's tended to be between this and this historically. What percent can I come back at and say, oh, we've miscalculated. You now owe $180,000 in overtime. And there's no limit. It's buyer beware if you have that in a contract. That
did we say we'll pay for overtime and they incur the overtime we're going to pay for? I mean, the estimate, you know, it was probably accurate based on historical practice, but the question is, why is there so much more? I mean, why is it spiking?
Because they weren't recording it before, right. And now they are.
Yeah.
But we're the only ones being charged?
No, everybody is.
No.
You said we're not the only ones being charged.
All the communities that are contracting are in the same boat because they're, you know, just getting the, I would say it this way, they have a better handle on overtime and who it's being charged to. That's
which is a good thing. That's a good thing.
Right. It is, yeah.
Well, it is. Managing there. Yeah.
No, he is the deputy sheriff. He's the one that's the main army contract for all of our contact for our contracts, and he works with all the communities that have contracts.
Well, when Todd started it, I mean, the discussions got a lot more productive because they actually had someone who was digging into the data and figuring out what it all meant. And I do believe this is just an artifact that for years they just everything just sort of came into a big pot, and they that's what we were calling for when we say as the contract was escalating, we said we need to know exactly what we're getting for our $800,000, and that's when they started to dig into the data. So I really think this is a matter of they just weren't keeping very good records, and now they are.
However, if a ticket should have come to Judge
That's a separate issue.
Because I'm sitting here looking at this 8 hours of court cards. Judge Sarnesky, have you ever held any police officer for 8 hours?
No, but if they call the court less than 24 hours before that, then they get more hours. Mm. If they are called, if you don't cancel the court within 24 hours, then they get the overtime regardless. And I think that's where it's probably coming in. When this contract first started out, all you paid for was 4.5 officers. Then they're looking for money as you're looking for money. So then they started collecting for communications, and they started collecting for investigators. Then they started collecting for jail time, and they're doing all of that to collect revenue. They want the revenue. And as I said, I argued with them about on these special programs that are funded by the state and the federal government, and they said, so what? We're going to keep the money. So they're very anxious to keep the money.
That's a really legitimate area that we need to challenge. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you got state money, so what? You got state money. I mean, you got paid for it, though.
And
I mean, it
doesn't mean that
it shouldn't be written into our court system. Why should you get more money?
Triple dipping. Yeah.
So it sounds like you'd like to come sometime and we can set that up. Yeah. But right now, this is informational just so you guys kind of know what we're doing. And I will get second quarter and we'll get to that. But just
and get premium.
So
what
you know,
on earth?
I will ask for premium.
Is there anything else?
Extra special.
There's just a couple quick ones. Oh, yeah. And these are good things.
As opposed to what?
Come in January or something.
Yeah,
after
we're
done with budget.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ask me about the jail, too, because the jail we pay on the levy, and on the court, every $10 for every court charge is going to the jail maintenance, and then we pay $40 a day to keep somebody in there. So
and
triple.
Another one. Our residents are paying Brown County taxes to the jail.
It's on the levy, it's on the jail assessment, and it's on the everyday cost.
Can we put in the budget before the sheriff's rep comes to our January meeting or something? You know, double dipping T-shirts for all of us to wear to that meeting.
And actually, can we have them in December instead of January?
You want matching pants, Randy?
You
want matching pants to go with?
No, I want to keep the budget down. We'll just get T-shirts.
Okay.
We're gonna pay for our own T-shirts.
It's not in the budget.
Okay, these are really quick, you guys. I just wanted to let you know, health and dental. The one that has a rise on it is our health plan, and it's just comparing when we were with the rise. Oh, did we stay short?
It's fine.
When we were with the rise, our annual total was $577,000. When we changed to United Health in 2013, it dropped to $381,000 as an annual cost.
Mm.
The 2-1 of 2013 on the bottom is a 9% increase that will stay with us until November or December 1st of next year. So even if you look at what we were with the rise, and even with our 9% increase, we're less than we were when we were with the rise. So we're still saving about
$160,000.
And then that's just the traditional. And then you look at the health savings account again. $445 was what we were paying with the rise. And then we changed in 2013 and went dropped to 296, and then with a 9% increase on there, we're at 322. So health insurance, we have made some great strides on it, and, you know, you can see by that. Dental is just the other form, real quick. And dental,
and these health numbers are factored into
Yes, they are, and then the 9% increase has been included in our 2014 budget. The dental, just to give you, again, an overview of that, we just changed to Delta Dental. We have a two-year rate guarantee on that. So we dropped about $16,000. Of course, not as great a savings because dental isn't as expensive, obviously, as medical, but still we saved $16,000 on the change that we did with our dental plan. So just to give you just a update on that and what the savings were in those two items. So.
The employees' experience with the new plan is good, bad, okay?
I haven't had anybody really complaining about it that I've heard. I don't know if any of the other department heads have heard anything, but I haven't had any concerns. I've had good experience with them. So I really haven't heard any complaints on it. I think it's the change, you know, sometimes it's hard, but other than that, I think it's gone well. So.
Good.
So that's just an FYI, and I think that is it. Claire, unless there's anything else, like a recap type thing, I think that was about everything. So are you guys hungry? Do you want to eat before we get Craig started, or do you want to go through the judges first?
Yeah, do you think it's going to take long for the judges' budget? I think we take the my inclination is to take the court budget, and then we'll recess and grab a bite to eat. And Judge, you're welcome to stay for that if you'd like. Before we get to the budget, Judge, we voted in open session before we started our budget deliberations tonight to keep the court in Alloway and not to pursue consolidation with Green Bay. So I thought you might know that.
I think that's in the best interest of the village of Alloway.
Which means that we need to look at your budget and decide exactly what we're going to do. So let's move on to that.
If you look at, maybe to start, Jim, real quick, look at page 3 of the bold. Start there. You can see that the municipal judge budget is the third line item down. Carry it across, there's a 21% decrease, and the decrease is about $14,000. And as I said earlier, that is really the change due to us not paying benefits, half of the benefits for a full-time employee. So that's really what that $14,000 equates to. There may be some other smaller amounts.
On page 3?
Page 3 of the gold, yep. Third item from the top, municipal justice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So the 21% reduction is really due to a half-time position and not having benefits put on that half-time position. So.
Okay.
And then the detail, if you want to get into detail, is up on one of your tabs.
Second one.
Page 2.
Here it is. I know.
Really?
So, yeah, and Jim's here, obviously, on page 2 and the... in the detail is here, and Jim, I don't know if there's anything that you want to touch on specifically.
Yeah, I'd like to say that 118,000, that's projected upon the same number of citations to be processed in 2014 that were processed will be processed in 2013. However, that's based upon the officers that we get out here. We don't know what their attitude is going to be towards issuing citations, and if they issue those citations, the same manner as they are this year, we should have about $118,000 of income. And that our income then is an increase of 1.45%. And as our expenses are down, and those expenses that Tracy alluded to amount to $15,075. So that puts us at a decrease in our expenses of 20%, 20.94%. Which is a bare-bones budget. And I just want to inform you that there's a bill that's been in the Assembly and passed by the Assembly, and there's a bill that's been passed by the Senate that's waiting the governor's signature to increase court costs by $10.
Would that actually go to you, or would it go to
the
state?
Yes, that would come to us, right.
Okay, good.
Because right now, for instance, what she's alluding to there, I think, is that court costs are $28. Mm-hmm. We only get $23 of that. $5 goes to the states. And as Municipal Judges Association, we were pushing this and lobbying for it, and they were afraid that they would tag something onto that, but apparently they didn't, so it'll all come to the court. And if that $10, well, it would take an ordinance by you people to invoke that, which I'm sure you'll probably want to do, but if we do that, we can establish about $12,460 in additional income for 2014. And that's based upon the fact that the average citation collected amounts to about $90. We're projecting 2014 Alloway court citations of 1,400 should be issued. We probably collect about 89% of those, so 1,246 of those are collected. That's $12,460 of additional income we should bring in during 2014. My only contention here is that we don't get any credit for the parking tickets. We collect, the court collects the parking tickets. Tracy put in that $20,000, and we go along with it because Tracy has a better handle on us. So are we going to have interns and enforcing the overnight parking? If we do, we can probably get $20,000. If we don't, you're probably lucky if you get $2,000. Mm-hmm. So Tracy asked me, she puts that figure in there. I don't. But my contention is that the immeasurable cost within the court budget is for the clerical wages, my salary. I have to adjudicate all the complaints, the time system costs, the printing costs, the registration for suspension or suspension registrations for non-payment. That all comes out of the court budget, but we don't get any credit for the income that goes there. Yeah, that's why I guess they're separate. Anyway, and the other thing I'd like to do is get a copy, if I could, probably Clara, can I get a copy of the monthly payouts that are charged to court accounts? I was remiss. I haven't been following this close. I had a very good employee that she did it, and I wasn't aware of it, and some of these overtime costs I questioned. But I had no knowledge that I was getting that much charged to my account. I said, could I get a payout, a copy of what's charged to the court on a monthly or quarterly basis?
What do you mean by monthly payouts?
Well, just something that you have here, an annual thing. It says the amount that was budgeted and year-to-date how much was paid out of each one of those accounts.
Claire does monthly reports, and she can just give you a copy that she does that for us. You know, your regular monthly reports, like that's all he's looking for.
Someone must be monitoring that somewhere along the line. I never have had that information available to me. I'd like to get it just for the court section.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I can send that.
Any other questions?
Jim, can you describe the conferences and meetings in 2012? They were 747. Projected 2013, they're 500, mm-hmm. but we have 2650 budgeted. Is that your continuing education that you're required to do?
I have
your certification. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have mandatory continuing education that I have to go to, and those seminars are randomly placed within the state of Wisconsin. The year before, I had to go to a seminar in Green Bay. I didn't have any expenses. This past year, I had to go to a seminar in La Crosse, so I had considerable travel expenses, and I had also lodging expenses that I had to. So it varies from year to year. And now the court clerk has to go to court mandatory continuing education also. And the reason for that, there's changes in the law that require that you keep up with them.
So the 2650 is basically a worst-case scenario in case they hold it somewhere that's going to cost you quite a bit of money.
Right.
You have no idea where or when it's going to be. So okay.
I get a calendar at the beginning of the year as to where it's going to be and what the topics will be so I can plan my education and also what subjects I want to avoid myself of, whether there's traffic or special topics or whatnot.
But at budget time, you don't know where it's going to be.
Budget time, I have no idea.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions or comments?
Okay, I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Judge.
For allowing you the courtesy to come in and explain.
Hi, Coach.
Thank you, guys. Enjoy your lunch.
Have a good night.
You want to stay?
No, I don't really have any dinner. Thank you.
Is there a motion for to recess?
We're still in session, Judge.
Okay.
Recess for 10
minutes. Recess.
Is there a second?
Second.
Trustee Kopisch, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Let's take 10 minutes.